السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اس وقت میں حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ السلام کے بعض ارشادات اور تحریرات پیش کروں گا.
At this time, I will present some statements and writings of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. He mentioned some accounts of the acceptance of prayers, of signs, and also the help and succor of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has counseled and admonished that in this era God has sent His appointed and chosen one, so therefore pay heed to what he says. For there is blessings therein. The progress and success of this movement is among the decrees and destiny of God. Further, the sole means of the sustenance and safeguarding of humanity and mankind is belief and acceptance of this. In one place, the promised Messiah on whom be peace mentions a letter of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib Rais Ludhiana. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Once Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib Rais Ludhiana wrote a letter to me. He said that some of my sources of income have been halted, so pray that they are opened and removed. Thus, he had some anxieties relating to his job and work." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "When I prayed, I received the revelation that these matters would be opened and removed. I informed him by letter, and only a few days had passed when those causes of his financial difficulties and problems in his income were opened and rectified. In other words, those causes that were resulting in his work and income diminishing were removed." The promised Messiah says that he informed him by letter. In a few days they opened and removed, and as a result his faith and conviction increased immensely. His faith in the promised Messiah on whom be peace strengthened further. The promised Messiah says, "Once Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib wrote a letter to me about some hidden and concealed matters and problems. At the precise moment that he placed his letter in the post, at that same time, I received a revelation informing me of a letter that he would send and its contents. I immediately wrote a letter to him that he would be sending me a letter with such and such contents, which I received on the following day. When he received my letter, he was astonished and shocked beyond bounds that how could I have received this knowledge of the unseen? For he thought to himself that he had not informed of this information relating to his concealed and hidden matters to anyone else. As a result, his faith and conviction in the promised Messiah increased so profusely that in his devotion and love and affection, he completely effaced himself to him. So in a small diary, he wrote down both of these signs. He would always keep this with him. The promised Messiah, on whom BP says, "When I went to Patiala, as was mentioned above, I met Wazir Hasan Sayyid Sahib. Then coincidentally, during the course of our discussion, they expounded their views regarding the extraordinary signs and miracles relating to myself. Then the late Nawab Sahib took out a small book from his pocket. He presented it before Wazir Sahib, and he said, 'My faith and conviction are based on these two prophecies, which are included in this diary.' Sometime later, a day before his demise, I went to Ludhiana to his house to inquire about his health. At the time, he was extremely weak as a result of piles and was losing a lot of blood. He got up in this condition and went to the room inside. Once again, he brought that small diary and said, 'I have kept this with me as a prized possession and something extremely dear to me. Seeing it and reading it gives me satisfaction.' And he showed me the places in the book where both of these prophecies had been written down. In the middle, or perhaps at late night, he passed away." The promised Messiah, on whom BP says, "I still believe that these signs that he wrote down in his diary can still be found in his library." Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that a few years ago, Sayyid Abdul Rahman Sahib, the merchant of Madras, who is one of the most devout members of the Jamaat, he came to Qadian. There was some disruption and anxiety that he was facing in his trade, and he requested me for prayers. I then received the revelation that he is all-powerful and mighty. That which he has fallen apart, he can make to be well established, and that which is well established, he can cause to fall apart. No one can know his secret. This revelatory statement meant that Allah could make what is broken to be fixed, but sometime later he would cause to be what is well established to fall apart. Thus, this revelation was related to Sirsab in Qadian. Only a few days had passed when Allah the Almighty caused his trade to flourish, and his business was restored. He achieved much affluence. The promised Messiah said, "Such means were produced from the unseen, that he started to gain immense financial affluence and success." Then a short while later, that well-established trade and work fell apart. According to the revelation, initially he gained some advancement and success in his trade, but then gradually it began to fall apart, and eventually it completely fell through. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says in one place regarding himself, "I had two ailments for a long period of time. One was a severe headache, through which I would become extremely restless, and dangerous symptoms would emanate. I suffered this ailment for approximately 25 years. Apart from this, I also suffered from dizziness. The doctors wrote that the ultimate outcome of this is epilepsy. Mirza Ghulam Qadir, my elder brother, suffered for 2 months for this initial illness, and then eventually he succumbed to epilepsy. And this is what caused his death. So thus I would pray that Allah the Almighty should safeguard and protect me from these illnesses. Once I was shown in a vision that a black, horrible creature in a shape of a type of bed which was the same height as a sheep or a lamb. It looked like an animal and it was the height of a sheep. It had lengthy hair and very long claws. It began to attack me. It was placed in my heart that this is epilepsy. Then I struck my right hand firmly upon his chest and said, "Begone, you have no part in me." God knows that thereafter those dangerous illnesses gradually began to subside. The severe pain and headache also diminished. All that remained was that from time to time I suffer from dizziness. This is so that the prophecy of being wrapped in two yellow sheets should not be negated. There is a prophecy regarding the Messiah that he would be wrapped in two yellow sheets. The two yellow sheets inferred two illnesses. The first, as he said, was dizziness. He said the second ailment was diabetes, which he suffered from 25 years. This sign has been mentioned previously. Even now I have to pass water almost 20 times a day. Through tests it has been ascertained that there is sugar in my urine. One day I thought that according to the study of the doctors, the outcome of diabetes is either suffering of the ailment of the eye or carbuncle, a type of infection where boils appear, which is fatal. So then I received a revelation regarding the ailment of the eye. Nazalatir rahmato ala salasatilaini walal ukhrain. That God's mercy descended upon three parts of the body and on two other parts. Mercy descended upon two parts of the body, the eye and two other. When the thought conjured in my heart of carbuncle, I received the revelation, Assalamu alaikum. So for a long period of time, I have been safeguarded from these illnesses. Hair diabetes was mentioned. Recently, an Arab Ahmadi wrote a letter in which he asked that if the promised Messiah alayhi salam had diabetes, then why did he keep fast and do so profusely? So when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu was salam, on whom be peace, has mentioned this, it is 1907. Where he has mentioned keeping the fast, it is well before his claim. It was at the time of his youth. In fact, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has gone as far as saying that the continuous fast that he kept was in his youth. For in any case, after the age of 40, a person becomes weaker, and it would have been impossible to keep continuous fast. He said, in that state, I had so much strength that if I so desired, I could have kept fast for 4 years. So, with respect to this diabetes, he was inflicted with it at a later period. It was in his youth when he kept his fast for a continuous period of 6 months. Regarding the illness of Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, the promised Messiah on whom BP said, in the previous week's sermon, Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib was mentioned with reference to Hazrat Muslih Maud. When Hazrat Abdul Karim Sahib passed away, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was greatly grieved. He had a great status. During his illness, the promised Messiah would regularly pray for him. He mentions a revelation in his connection and says that in the previous year, that is, on 11th October 1905, one of our sincere, devout friends, the late Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, passed away as a result of this very illness, carbuncle. I prayed for him profusely. However, not one of the revelations for him was reassuring for his health. In fact, I would constantly receive the revelation that he has been wrapped in the coffin, 47 years old. Surely to Allah we belong and to him we shall return. innal manaya la tatishu sahamuha, meaning that the arrows of death do not miss its target. When prayers were made after this, I received the revelation, ya ayyuha nasu budu rabbukum alladhi khalaqakum tu'sirun alhayata dunya, that, O people, worship that God who created you. In other words, consider God your doer and maker, and depend and trust on Him. Do you prefer the worldly life? There was an indication in this that do not consider any person so necessary and depend on him that it will cause unfounded harm, as this would be shirk. And to put undue emphasis and dependence on one person is a type of worship. After this, I remained silent. I understood that his death was certain. So on the 11th of October 1905, at Asr time, he departed this temporary life. That pain and anguish that emanated from my heart in prayers for him was not neglected by God the Almighty. God so willed that the unaccepted prayer should be redressed with another that would be accepted. So Seth Abdurrahman Sahib was selected. Although God the Almighty took Abdul Karim from us, he once again gave us Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman suffered from the very same illness, but from the same prayers of the same person he was cured. All praise belongs to Allah. The Promised Messiah says, "It is my countless experience that God the Almighty is so gracious, merciful, and benevolent, that when He does not accept a prayer due to His decree, He accepts another prayer in lieu." Here, the spirit and philosophy of prayer has also been taught. Some people say our prayers are not accepted. However, even the prayers of prophets, sometimes due to the decree of God, are not accepted. But, in its place, another prayer is accepted. The Promised Messiah says that when He does not accept one prayer, He accepts another in His will, similar to it. As is said, ما ننسخ من آيته أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها ومثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. Meaning, once we cause a sign to end or be forgotten, then we bring a better sign to manifest in the world. Are you unaware that God the Almighty causes to complete everything that He wills? Now, non-Ahmadis use this verse to say that some verses of the Holy Quran are proven to be abrogated through this, whereas there are very vast and multifarious meanings in this, which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam applies here. He says that when one sign is caused to be forgotten, another sign is shown in its place. One sign ends and another sign manifests. Another explanation of this is that previous and ancient scriptures were annulled and Allah the Almighty revealed the final law in the shape of the Holy Quran in their place. Regarding his own truthfulness and the prophecies of the Holy Quran which support this, amongst them one which is relating to transport, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says about it, there is a sign of a new mode of transport, which is a special sign relating to the advent of the Promised Messiah, as is written in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا الْإِشَارُ أُتِّلَتْ, when the she-camel will be abandoned. Similarly, it is mentioned in the hadith of Muslim, وَلَا يُتْرَكَنَّ الْقِلَاسَ فَلَا يُسْعَى عَلَيْهَا, that she-camels will become abandoned in this time period, and nobody will use them for transport. During the days of Hajj, from Makkah and Medina, camels are used for travel. Now those days are very near when railways will be prepared for transport there. This truth will then apply to this transport. تَلَا يُتْرِرَ الْقَلَاسَ فَلَا يُسْعَى عَلَيْهَا. People continue to say that railways are not yet found there. But there is a project that has already begun. It is thought by the end of 2015 it will be completed, which is a railway between Mecca and Medina. It will be an extremely fast train that will travel in between. So, the statements that the prophets utter are always made to come true by God the Almighty, even if it happens after some time. Nonetheless, the camels did become abandoned because in their place buses and cars were being used. But as the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said, railway lines are now being laid. Then, with relation to an enemy of Islam, whose verbal abuse caused the promised Messiah alayhi salam to pray that he should be seized. After being informed by God, the promised Messiah alayhi salam announced his fate. Regarding this, the promised Messiah on whom BP said, "This is a prophecy regarding Deputy Abdullah Atom, which came to pass with complete clarity. In essence, this was two prophecies. First of all, that he would die within 15 months. The second was that if he desisted from making this statement, which he had published, that God forbid, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was the Dajjal, the Antichrist, then he would not die within 15 months. As I have written already, the prophecy of death was on the basis that Atom, in his book Andrunai Bible, had said regarding our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was the Dajjal, Antichrist, God forbid. It is true that in this prophecy, a time period of 15 months had been allocated for his death. But alongside this, there was a condition, in the words that, unless he submits towards the truth. This is exactly what Atom did in that very same gathering. Being completely humbled, he put both his hands on his ears and uttered repentance and remorse for saying Dajjal. There were not just one or two people witness to this, but rather 60 or 70 people testified to this, half of whom were Christians and the other half were Muslims. And it is my view that 50 of them at least are still alive today, right before whom Atom retracted from saying Dajjal. Until his death, he did not utter this word again. Now one should think how dishonest, base and immoral it is that despite the fact of this open retraction, which Atom professed before 60 or 70 people who were right before him, yet it should still be said that he did not retract. For the fact is that a divine anger was on the point that he had used the word Dajjal, Antichrist. That is to say that the basis for all of this was on the fact that he said Dajjal, Antichrist, and that is why God's chastisement was going to descend, and this was the basis for the prophecy. Furthermore, the condition was to retract this statement. The prophecy did not mention anywhere that he had to become a Muslim, neither was it written anywhere that he would become a Muslim. The purpose was that he would retract from saying this word and would repent. So the promised Messiah says the prophecy does not say anywhere that he would become a Muslim. When, greatly humbled, he renounced his own statement, God the Almighty descended his mercy and compassion. The purpose of the prophecy was not that unless Atom becomes a Muslim, he would not be saved from destruction. The promised Messiah says, "For amongst the rejectors of Islam are counted all the Christians." God the Almighty does not enforce Islam upon anyone. Such a prophecy would be completely unacceptable, that if such a person did not become a Muslim, he would die within such a period of time. For this would be compulsion if such a prophecy were to be made. So many people in the world will and do not accept Islam. This does not mean that all of them will die, nor is there any compulsion in Islam. Neither was this the purpose of this prophecy. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "The world is filled with people who deny Islam. As I have written repeatedly, to merely reject Islam, no chastisement of God can descend upon anyone in the world. The punishment of this will only occur on the Day of Judgment." So what was unique with regards to Atom, that despite the fact that he denied Islam, a prophecy was made regarding his death, whilst it was not made regarding others? The only purport of the prophecy was that he had used the word Dajjal, Antichrist, referring to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, he repented and took back this statement before 60 or 70 people, among whom were many sincere and honorable persons. As he had recounted this statement, in fact he wept after this, so in the sight of God, he was deserving of mercy. But only to the extent that his death was delayed for a few months. Yet he died within my lifetime. That discussion, which was in the shape of a prayer duel, a mubahila, as a result of his death, he was proved to be false. So has that prophecy not been fulfilled until now? Undoubtedly, it has been fulfilled most clearly and evidently. God's curse falls upon such people who do not desist on criticizing clear signs, that despite the fact of everything coming to pass, they do not stop in their ways. If they wish, I can present approximately 40 people to bear witness of his recanting a statement. This is why he did not take an oath, whereas Christians have been taking oaths, and the Messiah Jesus, peace be upon him, also took an oath. We do not need to prolong this discussion, for Atam is no longer alive. Over 11 years have passed since his demise. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, mentions this in his book Haqiqatul Wahi. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, mentions that the blessings of the Holy Quran are far superior than the strength and capabilities of man. Displaying the signs to mankind, it instills certain knowledge and understanding. Through these blessings, miracles also manifest, and wondrous signs are displayed. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, I do not relate these Quranic blessings as past fables and stories. Certainly, I present those miracles which have been shown at my own hand. Those miracles number to 100,000. Perhaps they are even greater than this number. In the Holy Quran, Allah said, He who follows this word of mine will not only come to believe in the miracles of this book. In fact, he will be given miracles himself. So I showed those miracles through the blessings and effect of the word of God, which is beyond the capacity and strength of man. It is merely the act of God. The earthquakes that appeared on the earth, the plague that is devouring mankind. At the time, it was a very fierce plague. They are among these miracles which were shown in my support. I mentioned these signs by way of a prophecy 25 years ago in my book Barahin-e Ahmadiyyat and said that these calamities would occur. Those calamities indeed now have come to pass. They will not stop here, but the coming calamities are far greater than these. Many calamities are to appear, and there are new epidemics and plagues that will also be seen, which have never been seen in these lands. They are horrific and terrifying, and a dreadful type of epidemic is also about to manifest, which will spread both in this country and other countries. So it is a matter of great fear that these signs have not ended. They will cause great distress. So the promised Messiah is saying that a horrific type of plague or epidemic is about to appear both in this country and other countries. It will cause great distress. And perhaps in this year or the following year, an earthquake will also occur, suddenly and also fiercely. We see the actions of the world today and the manner in which they are distancing from God. And going beyond this, they transgress and are carrying out injustices. So their actions are actually inviting this punishment to manifest quicken. May Allah the Almighty confer His mercy and enable Ahmadis to pray. May we be enabled to always keep our actions upright. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, I do not know in which part of the country or if the people of the world fear God, and these calamities can be averted, because God the Almighty is the King of the heavens and the earth. He can manifest His commands and can also avert them. But apparently there is not much hope that people will come to fear God, because the hearts have become hardened beyond limits. And I do not have any hope that they will heed to the warning of the prophecies that I have made beforehand. It is also possible that they will mock, they will ridicule and hurl verbal abuses, or that they will blame us, that we are creating restlessness and disturbance amongst the people. This is the state, in particular in many Muslim countries. It is not only in the non-Muslim countries. In Muslim countries also, they are becoming far removed from God. And as the promised Messiah has said, the one who is calling them to tread on the right path, they will ridicule and mock. It will be said that he is trying to spread restlessness and strife. In fact, now, recently there was a report of a Maulvi, a Muslim cleric in Pakistan, whose name I cannot recall. Regarding the coming of the Imam Mahdi, he says that no one is to come. He was neither born and nor is he going to. And then he said mockingly, if he is born, then may Allah the Almighty rapidly exterminate him. Because we cannot tolerate any more disorder and strife. So this is their mentality now. Then to save Muslims from their state of ignorance and to make them heed to the voice of God and to reform their state in accordance with the will and pleasure of Allah, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, Islam as it is today is changed. All bad and evil morals have immersed the earth. That sincerity which is mentioned in Mukhlisin al-Huddin is completely vanquished. Sincerity is no longer found. Truthfulness, loyalty and fidelity, sincerity, love, affection and trust of Allah are all completely non-existent. Now Allah the Almighty has so willed that in a new way all these qualities and faculties should be rejuvenated. Yuhi al-Arda ba'da mawtiha is what God has constantly said, that He gives life to the earth after death. He has so willed, and different ways have been adopted for this. On the one side, appointed one of God has been sent, who invites to others in a loving and kind manner, and he guides people. The promised Messiah is referring to himself. On the other side, there is a progress of sciences, arts and different fields of knowledge. People continue to increase in the knowledge, their minds are opening, and the different fields of knowledge are expanding. The promised Messiah said, for the final argument to be established, the heavens are displaying their signs. Many signs appeared in the time of the promised Messiah, of storms, of the solar and lunar eclipses, etc. Also of earthquakes. Then the sequence of horrific signs have been mentioned, one of which is a plague. Now the ferocity with which it is spreading would never have been seen in previous generations. Many people are availing of these signs. Every day without exception, people either by letter or come here personally and take the bed. Although immorality, wickedness, vice, mischievousness and selfishness have increased immensely, these people who enter our movement come to us from among those very people. From this we learn that there are sincere people who are combined with these people. It is not that all of them are misguided. Allah the Almighty will remove them from there. He will make them understand how some become the signs of the plague. This will be the end of the world, and this will establish the final argument. The promised Messiah on whom be peace said, educated people and sincere people are coming into the fold. It is the impact of education which is causing minds to open. As a result of this, they come to understand the promised Messiah's claim and teachings and accept it. In every area, in every strata of society, and in every country, such people are found, who with the grace of the Almighty Allah, who are not just in the hundreds and thousands, but are in the hundreds of thousands. In one place, the promised Messiah says that in these miracles and prophecies, which manifested by my hand and are occurring, It is without a doubt that you will not be able to find anything comparable, even if you spend your entire life in search of this till you die. Now, the practical testimony of Allah the Almighty have become so manifest that they increase on a daily basis. A new Muslim boldly came to the promised Messiah alayhi salam and asked him to show a sign. That tell me and show me a sign of you being the chosen one of God. The promised Messiah said, whatever Allah places in the heart of his chosen one, he cannot go against, because that has been instilled from God. This is entirely true, that when Allah the Almighty in the world appoints someone and sends him, then in support of him, he also manifests wondrous signs. Subsequently, here also, he showed a multitude of signs, which hundreds of thousands of people observed and bear witness to. I have firm and certain belief in my God, that he has not limited it to these signs. These are not all. He has not ended this sequence. From time to time, whenever he so wills, he displays his signs. For a seeker of truth, those signs are not few in number. But if even then the heart does not bear witness, in terms of the signs that have already occurred, which are not few in number, but if even then the heart is not satisfied, that one is truly a seeker of truth, and with true sincerity and intention, if the heart is not reassured and convinced that a person is truly a seeker of the truth and honestly yearns for a sign, we can give special attention to him. If even after seeing a sign, you believe truly from your heart that you want to accept the truth, then tell thereafter. The promised Messiah said he will give attention and will pray for it. We have full belief in Allah the Almighty that he will definitely show some matter. But if that is not the case, and the earlier signs of Allah the Almighty are disrespected and disregarded and are considered insufficient, then there is no motivation to give attention or to pray. For the manifestation of signs, it is necessary to give attention, and there should be a passion in the heart for this. If somebody is disrespecting those signs and not trying to understand them, then not only will signs not be displayed, nor will prayers be made for signs to be displayed for you. It will be a sorry fate that such a person will reach. If they are considered insufficient, then the fervor is not mustered for prayer and attention, and for the manifestation of signs, it is necessary to give attention and to have fervor. And this is incited that one searches truthfully and sincerely. If there is honesty in one's search and one is prepared to accept, then signs appear. It should not be just a test. Then the promised Messiah says, it should be remembered that signs appear for intelligent people. Signs do not appear for those who are foolish. Such people cannot benefit from the signs of God at all. Guidance is completely dependent on Allah's grace. If Allah's blessings and grace do not descend, then even if one observes thousands of signs, he will not benefit from them and cannot do anything. So unless it is known what benefit one has taken from the previous signs, what hope can we have? For signs to manifest is not in my power. The signs are not the tricks or magic of a magician or sorcerer. It is completely dependent on the grace and will of God. When he so desires, he manifests signs, and to whom he so wills, he gives benefit. At this particular time, when the question has been raised of showing a sign, Allah the Almighty has placed in my heart that this is a type of Abu Jahil who used to ask questions. That is, his question and demand for showing a sign is like when Abu Jahil and other people like him used to question. What benefit did they attain? Can anyone say that no signs were shown at the hand of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If anyone believes this, he is a disbeliever. There were innumerable signs shown by the Holy Prophet, but Abu Jahl and others did not benefit at all from them. Similarly, now signs are manifesting, which for a seeker of truth should be completely sufficient. However, if one does not want to avail from them, and they are rejected by him, and he desires for something after, and something after that, then what can be hoped? That he does not look at the existing signs, but constantly asks for new signs. What can be hoped of such a person? He disregards the signs of God, and is actually mocking God himself. The Promised Messiah has said in many places that the non-Ahmadis who come to Qadian, or the people of other religions, in the manner that different people come from different places, it is a sign. Then there are innumerable heavenly and earthly signs, as the Promised Messiah has earlier mentioned. Nowadays, the world's attention is being drawn in this direction, and they are listening to the message of the Jamaat. This is a sign among the signs. The media's attention is being drawn in this direction for some reason or the other. So nonetheless, signs manifest on a daily basis for people who understand, and they continue to do so. In another place, the Promised Messiah says, "It is worth remembering that Allah the Almighty will not leave this movement without proof." He says himself, as is included in Barahini Ahmadiyyat, "A warner came to the world, but the world did not accept him. But God will accept him, and with almighty signs he will manifest his truth." Those who rejected and denied, and who are ready to do so, for them humility is decreed. They did not even think that if this was the deception of man, it would have ended a long time ago. Because Allah the Almighty is such an enemy of a false person like no one else in the world. Do these foolish people also not understand that can such steadfastness and courage be found in a false person? Such foolish people also do not comprehend that the one who is speaking from an unseen voice is why there is so much glory and splendor in what he says. And this is precisely his courage and boldness that one individual is prepared to challenge the entire world. Certainly, be ready that those days are nigh, in fact they are close, that the enemies will be disgraced, the friends will be extremely delighted and happy. Who are the friends? It is they who accepted me even before the signs, dedicated their life and wealth and honor in sacrifice, as if he has witnessed thousands of signs. So this is my community, and they are of me, who found me alone and helped me. They saw me in sorrow, and they shared in my grief. Being previously unfamiliar with me, they became like close friends and closely acquainted to me. Allah the Almighty have mercy upon them. If after seeing signs one accepts the clear truth, then what reward is there for me and them? What is the reward after observing the signs? And what is his status of respect in the sight of God? If one believes in God, and he knows what the circumstances are, and then he accepts him, then he can believe in Allah the Almighty, that in accordance with the need, the time, and the requirement of the era, he sent his chosen one. The Promised Messiah says, "Those who have truly accepted me, who have observed me with minute perception, and with understanding, have thought on what I said. They gauged my circumstances, and listened to my words, and pondered upon them. Then with all these points, Allah the Almighty opened their hearts, and they became my companions. He is with me, who leaves his own wills and desires for my wishes. He is with me, who forsakes his own desires for my wishes. Relinquishing his own needs, he makes me the judge." That is, he moves aside his selfish and egotistical desires, and instead gets the decision from me and what I say. He follows in my path, and he completely effaces himself in obedience, and exits entirely the fold of arrogance. With great sorrow I have to say that one cannot find the open signs, those acclaimed titles and ranks, and the status worthy of respect, in the sight of my God. 'Twill only be attained by those righteous and honest people who have found the hidden truths. Those who demand for signs to be shown, they cannot attain the highest ranks, titles, and positions of status. Only those will attain the status, those righteous people, who have found the hidden truths. They have recognized the fragrance of that person who is hidden under the cloak of Allah the Almighty. In other words, they recognize the Promised Messiah alayhi salam at the very outset. What quality is it of man that if, for example, He sees a prince with all his glory and awe-inspiring army, he then respects him. Of greater merit is one who finds the prince in poverty but yet recognizes him. He sees the prince in the clothes of a beggar, yet identifies him. But it is not in my power or authority to give wisdom and intellect to anyone. It is only one who can confer this. He who he considers dear, does he give perception of faith. The rightly guided gain guidance from this. And these very things for those who have crookedness in their heart become the source of crookedness. Those who Allah the Almighty wants to guide are guided. Those who have crookedness in their heart become even more bent in their crookedness. The promised Messiah says, "Now I know that I have written a great deal about science." Allah the Almighty is aware that it is correct and true that until now, 3,000 or more matters have been disclosed from Allah the Almighty, which is beyond the power and might of man. The door for these to be manifested in the future is not closed. May Allah the Almighty grant wisdom to the world, that they come to recognize these signs. May they not demand signs purely based on their intellect and personal desires, but rather may they come to recognize the need of the time and the voice of the age and the circumstances of today, which are all pointing towards the need of a chosen one of God. May they come to understand this. May they find the one who was sent by God and also come to accept him, so that disorder and strife can end in this world. Today I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia, Amagaram Ghulam Qadir Sahib Darvesh of Qadian, son of Abdul Ghaffar Sahib the late. He passed away on 12th November 2014 at the age of 90. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to him we shall return. He was among the 313 Darvesh. In Tarikh-e Ahmadiyyat, the history of Ahmadiyyat, he is number 181 amongst the Darvesh. In April 1925, in Shadiwal, Gujarat, he was born. There he attained his elementary education, after which he was enrolled in the army. He worked for 4 years, when after on the appeal of Hazrat Musleh Maud for the protection of the Markaz, the center, that you should dedicate their lives and come there. In 1947, he went there. He also had great passion for preaching and would particularly preach to Sikh people. In this connection, he had collated very rare books and references. He saw a dream that his age would be approximately 90 years old. He was a Musi. He leaves behind 3 sons and 5 daughters. 1 daughter is married to Zafrullah Ponto Sahib, who is a missionary of Indonesia. During his period of Darveshi, his son wrote that he had a bare stipend, yet would send money to support his widowed mother and 3 sisters, because he was elder amongst his siblings. The missionary Karim Tahir Sahib writes that in Ramadan, once I went to Qadian as I had the opportunity to sit itikaf. He was there with me at the time, and during the course of our conversation, he mentioned that he liked Kashmiri tea. So on a daily basis, he would give me a thermos from his home that he would bring. Then this missionary had an accident. During this period, he had gone to Rabwa from Qadian. There he said very passionately, he came to me. He wept and he would pray. Despite his illness and despite his weakness, and he also had very weak eyesight through which he could not see properly, but despite this, until his last breath, he would offer his prayers in Masjid Mubarak, saying that this is where I gain tranquility. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank. Apart from this, there are 2 other Darvish who passed away a few months ago. Their funeral prayer in absentia was led, but the details were not mentioned, and I would like to mention them today. Remember them and their children in your prayers. These Darvish have given immense sacrifices. For a long period of time, they lived in poverty and very bare circumstances, getting by on a minimal amount. And in the protection of the sacred sites, they fulfilled the due. Among them, one is Mirza Muhammad Iqbal Sahib. He was the son of Mirza Adam Beg. He passed away on 11th June 2014. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. His paternal grandfather, Mirza Rasul Beg, was a companion. His maternal grandfather, Hazrat Mirza Niyaz Beg, was also a companion. The deceased was amongst the 313 Dervish. For a long period of time he worked as a dentist in the clinic. Then he was also enabled to serve as a worker in the offices. He was pious, friendly, regular in worship, at the forefront of financial sacrifices, extremely courageous, fearless, and an excellent swimmer. He was a Musi. Apart from his wife, he leaves behind four daughters and one son. Then Chaudhary Manzoor Rehman Sahib Chima passed away on 26 July 2014 at the age of 94. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the elder son of Chaudhary Noor Muhammad Sahib Chima, the companion of the promised Messiah. When Hazrat Musleh Maud, for the protection of the center, made an appeal to the Jamaat, then because he had served in the British Armed Forces, he offered his services and gained the blessing and honor of being a dervish. Despite his old age, for a long period of time, with the help of crutches, he would come and say the prayer in the mosque. He was a sincere, spirited, compassionate and loving person. He was a Musi. He leaves behind, apart from his elderly wife, one daughter and two sons. One son, Chaudhary Mansoor Ahmed Sahib Chima, is a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee, and is serving as Nazim Jahidat in Qadian. After the Friday prayer, I will lead these funeral prayers.
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.